So the guard that we're kind of up to, kind of not up to, because we kind of did Mem Zion through Mem Tet all in one shot. But the short Gemara on Rosh Hashanah Beis opens up a couple of really fundamental Kachim Sugyas, so it's a great chance for us to do that. There are kind of like 2.5 different Sugyas which come up here. One is the Sugya of Yamin, which we'll do tonight. One is the Sugya of Holacha, right, the third of the four Avodot of the Dam, which is the walking of it, so that also comes up. And then there's the specific sugya of holacha of ketores, which we'll probably try to shmush both those together into one shot. but tonight we'll just talk about the avodah of yamin. So the Gemara opens up on Menachas Mabez with a question from Rav Sheshes. Right? They ask Rav Sheshes, what's the question Rav Sheshes gets asked? Halacha b'smol mahu. Yeah. So what is that? So what's going on? What's the question?
If he's
holding the light, every time I don't remember. Is that Torah? So is the question about Ketores in this particular?
Or is it saying that he walks?
Is he allowed to walk? Well, not with his left foot, but. But with right, is he allowed to walk holding in his left hand? Doesn't say Ketores, right? Just says he's allowed to walk holding in his left hand. And then Rosh Hashanah tries to give an answer, right? And the answer he tries to give is yes, it's acceptable. And his proof was from our Mishnah, right? Because what does the Kohen Gadol do in our Mishnah? Right. He has to bring in the coals and he has to bring in the incense, right? And he only has two hands. We talked about before, right? Ideally, he would have three, but he doesn't. So he needs one hand for the incense, one hand for the coals. So he's bringing the coals. He's bringing the incense in his left hand, right? Because it's the coals are heavy and they're hot, so they get his right hand, and the ketores in his left hand. So Reb Sheshes argues that since we see him walking into the Kodesh HaKadoshim while holding the ketores in his left hand, clearly we see in general that that holacha may be done with the left hand. Okay, so let's just like break down the question here for a second, right? So we have four avodos, right? There's shchita, then kabbalah, holacha, and zrika. So they're specifically asking Rav Sheshes about holacha, right? So why would that be?
You could say halacha is less of an avoda than the other one.
100%.
It's
right.
Just bringing more
right. So part of the question here could be about, what's the status of halacha? Is halacha really the same as the other three avodas? Right. Clearly the question seems to be probing that, and in order to really get an answer, you'd have to have a firm answer on that question. Right. So that's definitely one ingredient in terms of, resolving this question, and that we'll turn to next week to look at the status of halacha. Other element, right, besides holacha, that we have to kind of understand to see if it's possible for holacha to be done with the left hand, besides the status of holacha, is the status of...
left hand.
What?
Your left hand.
Your left hand, right? You have to understand the status of smol, right? If it's, like, unimaginable that that the left hand could be used for any avoda, then this question wouldn't get off the ground, right? So since we're asking, can holacha be done with the left hand... So, is that telling us something about holacha? Is that telling us something about smol? Is that telling us something about both? So Rav Sheshes answers, and Rav Sheshes answers from the ketores of Yom Kippur. And he gets shot down, right? The Gemara doesn't explain why he gets shot down. It's not a logical question, right? It's just there's a brisa, right? The Gemara quotes a brisa on Testament Aleph, there's a meisve. With a bunch of cases where halacha with the left hand is possible. So Rav Sheshes's assumption that we could extrapolate from halacha of the Ketores on Yom Kippur to halacha in general, that both, right, just like the Kohen Gadol can walk in with holding the incense with the left hand, so to any avodah, any halacha can be done with the left hand, that is rejected with no explanation, right? So we want to figure out, like, why did Rav Sheshes think that his extrapolation was accurate, and why do we reject it, right? There's no firm data on that, at least doesn't seem to be in the Gemara. But so that's the third kind of piece to think about, right? When learning this again. Okay, so let's just do a deep dive. We'll do a deep dive on the question of Yamin and Smol, which really is the one which is least connected to the Gemara, Sugyat Hand. Obviously, it's connected, but you know, basically, we'll spend most time tonight discussing stuff which is not connected to our Sugya, to Yuma at least per se. But happens to be that Yamin and Smol is a much more organized and clean Sugya than the Sugya of Halacha. So I figured we would do this one first, even though it's less. Really digging into the Gemara. We'll dig into the Gemara for next time, but it's going to be harder. This one is really, it's kind of easier to line things up. So the main sugyas of Yamin really come up in Zvachim and Menachos. There are a bunch of parallel Gemaras, right? And there's one essential machlokes in the Tanakh, right? Anybody know which two main parties we have in the Mishnayos and the Braisos, which are arguing? And Rabbi Shimon, right? Exactly. And who says what?
Think that you can't do a
vodah
with Yad Smol, and Rabbi Shimon thinks that if it happens with Smol, then it is kosher.
If it what?
If a Kohen does use his left hand, then it's okay.
No? Yeah. Right. What was the case that that was discussed? So the main case in Menachos that was discussed is Kemitza. Yeah. Did Rabbi Shimon allow Kemitza with left hand?
Well, his case at the end, Rabbi Shimon's case at the end, is not
pizza. Right. That's on Yud Amar Aleph, right? The Mishnah, yeah. We said Tanan Kibel, but right. So what's Rabbi Shimon's case?
Rabbi Shimon's case is
Kabbalat Hadam. Right. And what would be the parallel case for a Mincha, I guess? Maybe. Never mind. Let's not answer that. Kabbalat Hadam. Right, Kol Hadam is right. That's the second avodah. Right, we said the third one was halacha. The one before that was Kabbalah. So that, according to Rabbi Shimon, right, you can hold the kli in your left hand. And the Chachamim argue and say no, you can only hold it in your right. And what are they arguing about? Right, so the Gemara says they're arguing about how to darshan psukim, right, namely, who says what over here. Yeah, right. So where is this coming from? Etzba and Kohen?
From Vayikra Yadalit.
Yeah, excellent. Right? Source number one, the source code. So what's going on over here? What's going on in Vayikra Yadalit? One of the more exotic rituals in the Beis HaMikdash. So this is the process of, at the Tarat HaMetzora, right? When the Metzora is coming to the Beis HaMikdash to complete his process, right? He's kept it 7 days, and they totally shave him, and now he brings his various karbanos, right? And the pesukim talk about him dipping, right? Pasuk Tezayin in particular is important, right? That's why I bolded some of it. V'taval haKohen es etzba'o haYimanis, right? The Kohen dips his right finger. He dips it in the oil, right? And then he puts some of that on the, and he sprinkles some of that oil towards the Beis HaMikdash. Okay, so the Chachamim say that whenever you have the word Kohen, or whenever you have the word Etzba, so that's going to require the use of the right hand, right? That's what we darshan from this pasuk right here. And Rabbi Shimon says that's 50% correct, right? Rabbi Shimon says if it has the word Etzba, then you do require Kohen, right? But if then it does require the right hand. But just the word Kohen, that's insufficient, right? So Kabbalah, which requires a Kohen, but it doesn't say V'kibel be'etzba'o, right, or v'kibel be'ado, right, so there, Rabbi Shimon thinks you're not going to require the right hand. Only if fingers or hands are mentioned will Rabbi Shimon say that it needs to be with the right hand. Okay, so they're arguing in Drashos. Is that it, right? It's just how to darshan the psukim. No further field for analysis here. Do we think that there's potentially something kind of loaded in these two drashas of Etzba or Kohen? Right, it's like, you know, 50% or 100% or...
I mean, now, like, having read the you could connect it and say, like, there's a deal of, like, Kohen, Atzmo, like, when we're talking about, like, Kohen and like their specific din of just the word, like etzba yeminit, like that's where they're connecting it to, and then like that's when it's relevant that it says etzba. Like they're two separate. Like, is it like that the maaseh ha'asidim are killing themselves, or is it just that like?
Right. You're, this is where Rav Chaim's analysis is gonna get to. Right, that question of Asa Shalkoin. Yeah. So hold that thought. We'll get there in 1 second. You know, maybe let me just frame it a little bit differently. Of those two drashot, right, Etzba or Kohen, which one is more obviously relevant to the sugya of Yamin? Etzba, right? Or why? No, not a trick question. But yeah, exactly. Right. So if Rabbi Shimon, if Rabbi Shimon told you, Rabbi Shimon walks into the room and he says, "Guys, here's the halacha." Right? If the Torah says you need yad or etzba, that means the right hand. So how would we understand that?
The hand is part of that's just the hand at that point is an essential part of the avodah, so therefore it needs to be done the right hand.
Great, right. Otherwise, when the Torah singles out hand, right? So even though most or almost all avodah is done with your hands, right? When the Torah singles out that it's done with the hands, that tells me that the hand in particular is the right hand, right? So it's really just a question about a question about hands, right? When the Torah singles out, highlights your hand, right? Then it must be the right hand. What does Kohen have to do with Yam, right? That's much less intuitive, right? So it's likely that it's not, when you have one like super intuitive drasha and one which like much less so, it's likely we don't just have a Xeris HaKasav question, right? We really have like two different perspectives as to what the scope of Yamin really is all about. Okay, so we'll get to the Griz in a second, who's going to dig into this. Before we do, so just on the topic of the Gemara in Menachos, so did you guys all get to see the Gemara on Yud? Right, so there was another drasha besides the drasha of Etzba and Kavah, right? There was one earlier, the earlier drasha, which was the first line in the source sheet. Right? Anyone want to quote that one? Read that one? The first line of Nachos Daf Yud, Alam Arava?
Yad Yad the Kamisa.
Right. So this is, where's this coming from, these drashos? Yad, Regel, and Ozen?
Also in
Vayikra. Also in Vayikra, and also in Parak Yudalad, right? Just a little different part of the pasuk, right? Here we're not talking about the Kohen dipping his finger in the oil. Rather, we're talking about where are these Yemens coming in the...
In Pasuk
Yudalad. Yeah, awesome, right, Pasuk Yudalad, right. What's going on here?
The Asham.
Right, so the Kohen takes the blood of the Asham, right, and where does he put it?
Putting it on the ear of Mitzahar.
Right.
But whose ear are we talking
on? Right, so he is placing it on the Mitzoras, or ex-Mitzoras, right ear, right? And his
right hand and right leg.
Right, so why do we need all these three? So says Rava. Right, so Yad tells me that when do we need the right hand? So we need the right hand for Kamitza with the right hand, and the right leg for Chalitza, with the right leg, which we'll talk about at the end of tonight. And Ozen L'Ritzia, right, that the when the Eved Ivri has the nerf, right, when they do the ear piercing. So the ear piercing is done in the right ear. Okay, so we have two different sources for the requirement for Yamin. And the second one seems to be unanimous, right? Rabbi Shimon apparently agrees. So Gemara asks, right, I said you don't have to look at this, but we'll cover it quickly because I think it's just an important thing. Gemara asks, like, why do we need two different drashas, right? Why do we need one of yad, yad, regel, ozen, and the other one of etzba kohen, right? That's just totally redundant, at least from a kamitza perspective, right? You don't need that there. So the Gemara, like, bats back and forth, and you don't see the whole thing. That was, like, the whole discussion on yadam abeis. The Gemara ends up saying, oh, it's because I would have thought that a minchas chote does not require kamitza with the right hand. Minchas chote is, right, there are certain karbanos where you have the option of what to bring, carbon olav yored, if you're, you know, wealthy, so you bring one, and you bring an animal, and if you're, you know, medium class, then you're middle class. And you bring a bird, and if you're in the poorer classes, then you bring a mincha, right? So it's not your voluntary mincha, right, which is parallel to the ola, right? It is a sin offering, mincha. And the general principle with the mincha, which is the mincha schote, according to Rabbi Shimon, is we kind of strip down some of its fancier ingredients, right? So a normal mincha is made up of three different ingredients. Anyone know what those are? Three ingredients in a normal mincha? Flour, right? What kind of flour in particular?
Sola.
Right, mincha sola, but what species of plant? Close?
Wheat.
Yeah. Right?
I chose barley because it's less, but that's less nice.
Right, exactly. Yeah. Wheat is the fancy grain. And someone mentioned, what were the other two besides wheat?
Oil
and? Good. Not in the mincha itself, though. Right, that you kind of sprinkle on top of the mincha. It's kind of relevant to the Torah, actually. Is lavona, right? The frankincense. I think it's the way it's right. So your spices. So Rabbi Shimon. So there, those are three basic ingredients in mincha: wheat flour, fine wheat flour, as I said, oil, and spices. According to Rabbi Shimon, mincha schote gets kind of stripped down. He says we strip out the elements that make it mihudar. Right, so we strip out the oil, we strip out the spice, and all you have is plain flour, is plain wheat flour. There's one mincha which has even less than that, which is brought by an individual. Let me know what that is. Don't expect it, but there's one mincha which is brought by an individual which is even less than the wheat flour of the minchas chote. It was in Parshas Naso.
Sota.
Right, Minchas Knos, the Mincha Brapa, the Sota. Right there, so the Minchas Chote, it's the underlying identity of Mincha is still there, just Rabbi Shimon says we strip out the fancy parts. The underlying identity of Minchas Knos, right, the Mincha of the Sota, is changed, and there you have barley rather than the wheat. So the Gemara has this very strange Havamina. Right, just come back to our point. The Gemara says, I would have thought maybe that just like we strip out the fancy parts of the minchas chote, you just have wheat flour. You don't have any oil. You don't have any frankincense. So too, you don't have to use your left hand. So, an initial reaction to that is,
wait, what? You don't have to use your right hand.
Maybe, sorry, you don't have to use your right hand, right? You don't have to use your right hand for the kamitza because you know Rabbi Shimon's one who said that your minchas chote doesn't have to be mehudar. So, it's not mehudar with no. Frankincense, no oil, and you don't have to use your right hand. So, makes sense or a little bit odd? And if it makes sense, why?
It makes sense if you say that the yamin is like a mudar thing. It doesn't make sense if you say that the yamin is like part of the dina avoda.
Excellent. So, you know, if yamin was like all or nothing, right, then, you know, essential to the act of avodah is that it's done with the right hand, right, then we couldn't possibly have even had this as a havamina, right? To have the havamina that just like you don't need oil, you don't need frankincense because they're mihudar, so you don't need the right hand. So I think at minimum we can say that we're thinking that, you know, it's not like smol is totally out of the world of hands, right? It's not, it's small as left hand as a hand, it's just not the proper hand, it's not the ideal hand, right? And then the question with Rabbi Shimon is going to be, so for the Minchas Chote, right, so like how non-ideal is the left hand, right? Is it like, you know, it's a hidder to use your right hand, but, you know, it's really normally, you know, it's like the left hand is the parallel of, you know, oil and lavona, which are nice to have, but like you still have a nice solid wheat flour bread mincha without it, right? Or the maskana, do we think that you know, yamin really is more essential than shemin and lavona? But either way, Rabbi Shimon at least still thinks that that you know, it's not like smol, that left is out of the world of hands entirely, right? Clearly, it's in the ballpark. Even the maskan, I think, right? That's too much of a havam. It's too far a jump from havamina that it's like just a hider to maskana that it's not even in the ballpark, which is important because this is like a general methodological principle, right? Whenever you have a narrowing of the scope, right? So, you know, I think that, you know, the isser doesn't apply to everything. The isser only applies in like certain contexts. So often you can have a narrowing of scope associated with an increase of intensity. And it's like a trade-off, right? If we focus the scope, so it doesn't apply to as many things, but it can apply to them more intensely, Right, so I might have thought that maybe Rabbi Shimon has that idea of yamin and small, right? That I only need yamin when the Torah says I need yad or etzba, right? But like when the Torah says yad or etzba, right hand is the only hand in the ballgame, right? That small doesn't even get into the ballpark, right? It seems from the Gemara's discussion, the Rebbe is that that's not the case, right? That according to Rabbi Shimon, at least, just like there's a narrowing of the scope, there's also a weakening of the psul of small.
That's just in Havamina, isn't it? So can't...
Yeah, 100%. So I'm arguing that, and it's totally just an argument. I can't prove it, but I'm saying that that seems like too much of a bridge to jump, to say that you go from comparing yamin to elements which make it a mehudar mincha, or a mincha mehudaret, right? So to jump from that to saying that it's like not even, you know, doesn't even have a din yad, let's say, I think that's too far. Okay, fine. So that's Rabbi Shimon. The next Gemara, the short Gemara Menachas Kavav, really is just good because it sets the framework for the Grizz, which we'll talk about for a little bit, right? So Rabbi Shimon has this chiddush on Menachas Kavav that if you do what? What's going on here again? Yeah, you have your mincha, right? You have your mincha, and now you did your kamitza, so according to the Chacham, you have to put your kamitza in the klisharis. And then you bring the klisharis over to the mizbeach, and you burn it on the mizbeach. Rabbi Shimon thinks that you don't have to do that. Rabbi Shimon thinks that if you want, you can just do the kamitza, and then walk over with your hand and plop the flour straight onto the fire. Does that need to be done with your right hand or not? So Rabbi Shimon says, if you're using the kli, right, if you put in a kli, then you do not need to use your right hand. If you don't use a kli, if you use your hand all the way, then you have to use your right hand. Right? He says this is because of the connection to which two karbanos? Asham and Chatas, right? We have a drasha Kasham Kachatas, right? Kachatas Kash. I think it's Kachata Kasham, right? So if you want to bring it like a Chatas, you can. You want to bring it like an Asham, you can. So you want to use your hand, go for it. You want to use the kli. You can go for it as well. So this is a little weird, right? Like, do I have to use my right hand to bring the kmitza over to the mizbeach or not, right? So he says, well, Rabbi Shimon says it depends. How can it depend? So it seems like there are two different tracks, right? The chiddush of kachata kasham is that there are two different tracks of how to be makdish this komets, right? And if you choose the track of yad, then you have to use your right hand. If you use the track of no yad, then you don't have to use your right hand, right? So it's important to, you know, it's one of the good things about learning kachem is that you get like a familiarity with some of the brisker svarim because they write more frequently. The Grizz here, like, you'd never have a Rav Chaim piece, which starts with just, I'm going to explain a machlokas tanaim between Rabbi Shimon and the Chacham. That just wouldn't happen, right? You always start with a Rambam, and a Ravid, and a Stira, and an answer, right? And then a rejection, and then there's a whole, like, way to build it up. Grizz often has, like, shorter pieces, which are just, look, I'm just going to explain, like, what's the lamdas in a sugya. He often happens to write very clearly. It's underrated, right? Like it looks like a big black scary book, but the clarity is really unappreciated. So he just says, like he spells out the basic situation in the sugya. He says Rabbi Shimon versus the Chachamim, right? So for Rabbi Shimon, yamin is just a din in yad, right? When you need a yad, you need to use the right hand, right? The right hand is the yad of choice. So, for example, if we have this track where you're going to use the chatas track, which requires a hand, so it's got to be the right hand, right? So what do the chum think you need yad for? You need yamin for. Not for yad particularly, but you need yad for really something else entirely. You need yamin for something else entirely. For avoda, exactly, right? Whenever avoda is required, right? So avoda requires the right hand. Rabbi Shimon says, I never heard of this before, right? Avoda, you do avoda the right hand you want. Some of the Torah tells me, hand means right hand. Chum say no. Avoda, a din avoda is that avoda needs to have to be done with the right hand. Okay, right, so now if, just thinking back parenthetically for a second, if that's the case, right, that all of Voda requires the right hand, then that makes our Yuma Mem Ches a much more loaded Gemara, right? Because if we're saying the rule of thumb for Chachamim is that a Voda needs Yamin, then how on earth could we be asking, right, does Halacha need, Halacha b'smol mahu? What do you mean Halacha b'smol mahu? Halacha is one of the four Avodos, right? So why are we thinking it could be okay? Right, so that, just, you know, to have that really nailed down, highlights that this Gemara is asking a big question. Now, the Grizz is, you know, it's a good, clean explanation of the scope difference between the Chacham and Rabbi Shimon, but it doesn't explain the Chacham's drasha. Right, and what are the Chacham darshan again? Right, where do we get Yamin from? Sorry. Either one, right? Either Kohen or Etzba, which I think there was one of him. One of the important people pointed out that it's redundant because we don't have anywhere where we have Etzba where we don't have Kohen. So it ends up being Koron Tanakam or Koron Lacham. It's whenever we have Kohen and you need right hand. And the question was like, what do they set through with each other? So we're a little bit there because if we're saying that Avoda needs Yamin, so at least we understand, right? That's why that's the Kohen connection, right? Because you need Kohen for Avoda, you need Yamin for Avoda, so that makes sense. But still, like, why specifically Kohen? What is Kohen? Why is that the word which is being used to darshan, the use of the right hand? So for that kind of gets explained. It really does get explained from some of the analysis that Rav Chaim has in this piece in Tamidim Musafin, which the piece itself will be really important for next week. For this week, we just needed like one paragraph of it. So I don't know how much of it you guys saw.
We saw
the part. Okay, you saw the part that's in source codes. Okay, so what's going on in here? What's this fundamental idea? I don't have to get too much of the background. What's the fundamental idea?
There are certain cases that the ma'asem needs to be done by the kohen atzmo.
What does that mean, kohen atzmo?
Like, if there can't be a chatzitz, it has to be, like, himself
right.
Doing the avodah.
Exactly. And in those cases?
In those cases, he has to use his right hand.
Exactly. Right, so what's bothering Rav Chaim is the Rambam says that when you walk the ketores, not the ketores of Yom Kippur, the ketores of year-round, when you walk ketores into the Kodesh to burn on the Mizbeach HaZav, it seems like the bazach, which is the kli, which is containing the incense, is in some other shovel, and then you're holding the shovel, which is holding the kli. So you're not actually holding the bazach at all. And that sounds like there's a chatzitza problem, right? Because you'll be holding the kli itself, right? When you do holacha, you have to be holding when you do halacha of blood, you have to hold the kli shares, can't wear a glove, right? So how come when you're doing holacha for ketores, you don't need to be holding the kli of the ketores itself? So he steps back and he says, well, wait a second, you know, we only have a chatzitza problem when we need Asma Kohen, but that makes a ton of sense, right? If you don't need the Kohen himself, you need the Avoda to happen, so that needs a Kohen, but you don't need a direct connection between the Kohen and his Avoda. Who cares there's a Chatzitza, right? He can wear 9 gloves. The Kohen did the Avoda, so that's fine. You only have Chatzitza problems when you need a relationship between the Kohen physically and the Avoda he's doing, or as he calls it, Atzmo Shel Kohen, right? And so then he argues that really you don't need Atzmo Shel Kohen for Ketores at all. And his proof is that there's something else which it seems like we don't need for Ketores, which is
the use
of the right hand, right? Because it sounds like you can do the sprinkling of Ketores with both your right and your left. Mm-hmm. So, right, he ends up saying that if you don't need Atzmo Shel Kohen, you don't need Yamin. Now,
and you also can use that cliche,
right? And you also can, right, indirect touching,
yeah.
Right? Exactly, right? So you have two different dinim, right, which stem from the same root, right? Whenever there's no chatzitza problem, there is no yamin problem, and vice versa. If there's no yamin problem, there's no chatzitza problem. Now, why should that be? So half of that we understand, right? So now we just need to spell out. We don't have to say anything new. We just need to spell out what he's saying. What's the connection between Atzmo Shel Kohen and Chatzitza?
Anytime you would have
Atzmo Shel Kohen,
you wouldn't
even have Chatzitza. Right. That makes a ton of sense. So now we just have to apply that to Yamin, and what are we going to end up saying? You only need Atzmo Shel Kohen. If you need Atzmo Shel Kohen, it has to be done with Yamin. If you don't need Atzmo Shel Kohen, it doesn't need Yamin.
If you're doing it with small, it's as if it's not done with the Atzmo Shel Kohen at all.
Right, exactly. So it's not that it's not a universal rule in all avoda that all avoda needs to be done with the right hand. It's when the avoda has to relate to the Kohen, right? If the avoda is related to the Kohen, then it has to relate to his right hand, right? If the body of the Kohen is significant in the performance of this avoda, right, which means Atzmo Shel Kohen, right, there has to be a connection to the body of the Kohen and the avoda, that is when we're going to say that it has to be, which part of the body do we need?
The right hand, right?
So it's not all avoda. It's if avoda is to be connected to the Kohen, it has to be connected to his right hand. So that's why the drasha is on HaKohen, right? Like Kohen with a capital Kaf, right? If I need the Kohen, if I need Atzmo Shel Kohen, argue the Chachamim, then I'm going to require Yamin, right? So just to wrap up, because Chaim is just kind of sharpening what his son was saying before, right? The Griz argued that, look, for Shimon, or for Rabbi Shimon, Yamin is just a din in Yad, or Etzba. If Torah says, if the Torah highlights, like Kobe said before, if Torah highlights needing use of the hand, so it has to be the right hand, but nothing beyond that, right? And we demonstrated that Rabbi Shimon's narrowing of the scope is not accompanied by an increased intensity. We proved that from Minchas Chote discussion. The Griz said, look, for Chachamim, right, Yamin is a din in Avoda. Now we're sharpening it, we're saying, no, it's not just a din in Avoda, that all Avoda must have right hand. It's only when Avoda is connected to the Kohen himself, right? If the Kohen has to be mit yachais to the Avoda, right, the Kohen has to have some strong personal relationship to the Avoda, right, Atzmo Shel Kohen, then it's going to have Yamin. And the sign of that, right, the associative symptom, is that it also has to have no chatzitza. Okay. That's point one. Yeah, definitely.
Are we going to go into that further, what it means to be Atzmo Shel Kohen, or is that kind of
Not to, yeah, I think we're leaving that here. We're leaving that for now.
So can you give, like, a quick example of what it means, like when an avoda would need Atzmo Shel Kohen?
Normally avoda needs Atzmo Shel Kohen, right? Your regular avoda, standard assumption is that avoda requires Atzmo Shel Kohen, right? Torah says the Kohen has to do it, and the Kohen has to be connected to what he's doing, right? Like there's a reason why Rav Chaim asks his question. Wait a second, isn't there a chatzitza?
Yeah.
Right? Rule of thumb is that chatzitza is a problem. Rule of thumb is that Kohen has to be, involved in what he's doing.
Is that saying that it's not just that it's like the distinction between the Kohen being like a hechi timsi, like enabling the avoda to happen, and the Kohen being an integral part of the avoda itself?
I think it's a good way of saying it. He didn't give any examples in here. To the contrary, did he?
Is that also connected to like the idea that we discussed like a while ago that like if another Kohen can do it or not, like?
Right. There we're talking about like the identity of the person, right? Social security number as Kohen Gadol, as opposed to connection between Kohen and Avoda. Okay. So once we've nailed down the Chogas Tanan about the scope, right, so the next question to dig into is the question of the nature of the psul. So the best place to look at, to understand the nature of the psul, is the sugya of lefties. Anybody here a lefty? Okay.
Oh man,
you're a lefty Cohen?
Yeah.
Oh, the worst.
I'm interested.
Okay, so this...
Whatever.
So
he's winning the scale of like disqualifications.
So well, yeah, we'll see. So the basis of the good. The question we gotta. So the basic question I have to investigate is the status of a lefty, is it only relevant for Kobe, or is it relevant for all left-handed people out there? In other words, is the problem, and this is like, you know, so you guys, like a self-esteem situation, do we think that being a lefty is a problem, right? Is there a mum? Is it a mum to be left-handed? We'll find out. Right. We used to think that. Sorry, they used to tie their right hand. They used to tie the left hand. Yeah, my grandma was able to do it too. Right. So
yeah, I could tell we had some connection bothering all of us.
What?
It's so shocking how recent that was.
Yeah, literally like 4 years. Really
well, it might be like a Gemara in Bechara. So. Okay. So let's dive in. We have until 9 o'clock, right? 9 o'clock. Okay. Should not have used the lion's share for happens. Okay, so the Mishnah says, right? I should not have used the lion's part of the share for the first half, since the second half is the more interesting half. But we'll make it work. The lion's share, I think, is the formal. Yeah.
Oh yeah, that's
yeah.
Why you know lion's share. You know what that is?
Yeah,
the, like the career thing.
Yeah.
Ah.
Lion's share. There's Columbia. Our team is the Lions. So for everything, they try to make like a pun with lions. So one of the websites is called Lion's Share because of that pun.
Sounds
like privilege.
Yes.
Ivy Leagueism. Terrible. Okay. Barnard? No.
We don't have lions with bears.
We don't. Lion
bear share.
Bear.
Bear.
Nothing else.
Okay.
That's her
nephew.
Okay, sorry.
So the Mishnah Bechoros. Mishnah Bechoros has an interesting, a weird Mishnah, but the one line which is on the source quotes, right, which is relevant to our purposes,
yeah.
Possibly?
If you're ambidextrous, Rebbe says you're puzzled.
Yeah, right. So is if you're ambidextrous, or Rishon says you're the Rebbe says it's a problem, the Chum say it's not. Which tacitly assumes that if you're a lefty, there's a problem, right? Although that oddly does not appear in the Mishnah, which the Ramban draws attention to, right? How come we're not talking about lefties as Bali Mumin in the Mishnah? We talk about the status of the ambidextrous person. Which, by the way, if you ever want, you know, if you want to say that the question of is the glass half full or half empty, Machlokes Tanayim, right, so you could just point to, you know, say, hey, Bechoros Mem Hey, everyone knows, famous Machlokes Rebbe and the Chamim, whether the ambidextrous person is strong in his left hand or weak in the right hand, right, so that's, there we go, glass half full, glass half empty. Okay, so the Gemara fills in with the Braisa, right, Tan Rabbanan, Iter Bein Biyad Bein Beregel Pasal, right, someone's lefty, either in their hand or in their leg, or both, I guess. So there's that's possible. Never any explanation and never any source, right? Like it's not in the Mishnah. The Braisa just says it, and then we move on. So what's going on? So Bechoros, our Rishonim options are severely limited. So we have Rashi, Baruch Hashem, right? So you want to read Rashi because it's like critical.
Right.
Yeah, so what was that first part? That was just interesting to me. It was just a phenomenon I'd never thought of before. A physical phenomenon.
So if you walk starting with like mostly on your left leg, like starting with your left leg, which is not how people usually walk.
Yeah. Apparently.
Yeah,
and when you stand
like,
up, what?
Right.
So experiment. Your first stride? What's your first stride?
It's like, if you're not riding a bicycle, think about like what,
right.
Where you
yeah.
Going
first.
Yeah. Yeah. So I never thought of that before.
I'm
going to
do it
but,
thinking about it.
No, but I'm a lefty in soccer also.
In baseball, you're supposed to take your first stride with your left foot. Cause if you're on base, right, so you can cover the ground, take that, but it's unnatural for. Right? Anyway, never noticed that before Rashi said it.
So if you walk differently than everyone else.
Apostle. Yeah. Okay, so then you're apostle.
Yeah.
And then what's important for us? Kach itir biyad.
Yeah. Which
is
the same. The
Dirtiv
et haval et besba'o.
Mm-hmm.
In the pasuk
from... Looking familiar, right?
Makom shne'emar etzba the kohen ino el yamin. Ve'iter v'regel nami la'amod v'lashari tiv v'derek sh'ar amida z'ikaro v'yamin.
Yeah. Okay, so leave that aside for now. So someone who's a lefty is unable to do the avoda. And according to Rashi, what's the source that a lefty can't do avoda? Yeah, which what was Talal Betzbo the source for? That avoda needed to be done with Yad Yamin. So, Pammy's got a right hand, right? So why does how does Rashi's source provide the source to pass the lefties? How do I know a lefty can't do avoda? Because avoda must sit with the right hand. Okay, shkayach, right? We're trying to figure out to what degree lefties may be, not normal, but they have right hands, right? So what's going on? How is that a source? What does that mean?
Just as they walk with their left hand and is it related to the first part of his explanation, or is that just explaining regal?
That's just explaining regal, but yeah. Right. I mean, the only mocker he gave, right, was on.
I was wondering because he says.
Yeah, or they're the same one, right? The next one, very good. No, you're totally right.
So
right, the next line.
Drawing those two things together.
La mod l'sharis, right? We learned that all avoda must be done standing. If you sit while you do the avoda, it's possible, right? So standing. If you're a lefty, you don't stand. Right, he's taking one halacha, right? The halacha that avoda must be done with the right hand, and he's using that to provide the source that a lefty can't do avoda. But those seem like two different things. So, what could be going on? He's Rashi, like he's not a confusing Rishon.
Like,
usually. Exactly explain it.
Like, because he brought in the Lashon of She'ein Derech Ne'adam. Like, it's not the Derech Ne'adam to walk their left leg first. And so I think he's drawing a comparison of that and of being a lefty in general, and that's presumably not being able to use your right hand for that. If you use left hand, then you're not like Derech Ne'adam, and maybe like taking a boom angle on this.
I hear you on the. I hadn't thought of it before, and that's interesting. I don't know why he uses Derech Bnei Adam, but if it's a moom, then why is he quoting our Gemara about Taval Etzba? Avoda must be done with your right hand, and apparently a lefty doesn't have a right hand.
Since they don't use it, it's as if they don't have
it
for the purposes of.
Explain a little more. Almost there.
Like,
what do you mean exactly?
Since they don't use their right hand, like for the purposes of avoda, when they would be required to use one, it's like they don't have it.
Okay, and let's say you just okay, so I'll do the Kabbalah. I'll hold the bucket with my left hand. It feels or my right hand. It feels unnormal. It feels abnormal, but I'll it's the halacha, so I'll do it. Why couldn't that work? Like 90% of the way there.
I don't know. According to this,
it's not usually trained in it.
The
importance of the
right hand, the
stronger.
So, like, if your right hand's not your stronger one, you can't use that, then
it defeats
the purpose of having.
Excellent. You don't have a right hand, right? What do you mean I don't have a right hand? The yamin is the strong hand, right? And if your right hand is not your strong hand, then for all intents and purposes, you don't have a right hand, right? So, I could use, this hand. It's better if I was a lefty, but I could use the hand on the right side of my body to do the avoda, right? But al pidin, you don't have a yamin, right? You could say, like, you have a right hand, you don't have a yum in hand. Right? A lefty does not have a yum in hand because their yum in hand is their left hand, right? And so you need both, right? Yum in must be the geographical right hand, and it also must be the strong hand, right? So Rashi is arguing that that a lefty is possible because his right hand does not have a din yum, right? So he has no yum in hand. He has a nice right hand, nice left hand, no yum in hand. Therefore, he can't do avoda, right? Because avoda requires yamin. He doesn't have a yamin, right? He has a right, left, no yamin. Doesn't work. So okay. So according to Rashi, that's why he's out. No no yamin. May not be a balmum. In fact, it's probably not a balmum, which would make sense because like it's a little weird to say that a lefty is a balmum because you know physically totally normal. It doesn't appear in the Mishnah as an example of a mum. So Rashi will tell you it's not a mum. You just don't have a yamin, right? So you can't do avoda because you don't have a yamin. Fine. so this gets Rishonim excited, right? Because there's another area in halacha, very relevant, where we have people who are a halacha that's something that's supposed to be done with your right hand, and that those who are lefties don't do with their right hand. Tefillin, right? What does lefty do with tefillin? Right, the lefties tie tefillin with their left hand, right? In other words, instead of using the right hand to tie it on the left, they use their left hand to tie it on the right, right? So why don't we say the same thing? We could say that, fortunately, a lefty has no yum in hand, and so therefore a lefty's potter from tefillin. So we don't say that, right? So I don't know if you
can change.
Yad keha, right? Because the Torah in Parshas Bo says yadcha, but it says yadcha in a very weird way, right? It says yud dalet kaf hey, right? So yadcha, which means yad keha, your weak hand. Okay, so we have a drasha which says that you can use the yad keha if that fits your situation, right? So if you're a lefty, then we have a special pasuk telling me to use left hand. Okay, fine. So this gets everyone talks about this in Chulin Tzadi Beis. Why is in Chuli Tzadi Beis. You guys get to see? Okay, good. So what's going on in Chuli? Awesome. What's going on in Chuli Tzadi Beis? Yeah, I hear you. Why? Gid Hanasha, right? The Mishnah said that birds don't have a Gid Hanasha, which is good, because otherwise we couldn't have chicken thighs. No, yeah, exactly. Pargiot, right? It was Pargiot were in peril.
That's a terrible
and Pargiot were saved because we said that the animal must have like a calf. And the Gemara says, what do you mean? Like, birds have hips just as much as animals do? And the answer is that it doesn't have the same rounded ball of flesh, right? You know, if you have a nice gazunta cow, so you have a nice round ball of meat in the hip region, in the thigh region. Apparently birds do not have that same rounded ball of flesh, which they call the agil, right? You know, and it's round. So now Rabbi Yirmiyah asks, right? And Rabbi Yirmiyah would be the one to ask us because Rabbi Yirmiyah is the Amora, the go-to Amora for asking all of the really random Matzias questions, right? I think we talked about this in the last couple of years. Rabbi Yirmiyah's Bava Basra case, right?
Remember
it? Rov or Karov? So, right? Kobe, you know what's going on?
Kobe remembers that.
Okay, so basically the Gemara talks about. If you have a wandering dove from Dovecote, right? So it can be presumed to be yours if it's within 50 yamos, right? So Rabbi Yirmi asks, like, what happens if you find a dove and you know, there are two equidistant dovecotes and the dove's feet are on the 1 foot is on either side of the 50-yard line, right? So, you know, so it's just standing perfectly still with 1 foot on either side. So they threw him out of the Beis Medrash because they said that was, like, a problematic question. I think last year we saw the Gemara where they brought him back in. I think that's how it came up.
I think I remember
because there's another Gemara where I thought we saw it last year in Bava Kama.
We might have.
Okay, I don't remember.
I don't remember anything.
Was that in Bava Basra or Kama?
He gets thrown out in Bava Basra. He gets thrown out in Bava Basra. And the year before me in Gush, they learned Bava Basra, and so the t-shirt that year was like a bird with one leg on either side, and it said, "Don't ask stupid questions."
That's right.
On the back of the t-shirt.
It's crazy that people still wear that shirt.
Yeah.
It is so not crazy.
Yeah. All right. Israeli is like, oh, yeah. Come on.
Yeah.
Okay. It's being recorded.
Okay.
Okay, so Rabbi Yirmiyah asks, okay, what if I have, right, I go to, like, you know, like the freaky TV show, and I dig up a chicken with a rounded ball of flesh on its gid. So, or I find an animal which doesn't have it, right? So do we say, right, basar didei azlinan? Do we go by the specific organism in question? Oh, basar minei azlinan, right? Or do we go by the general type? And the Gemara answers, my father-in-law's favorite line, Chas, teku, right? We don't know. Okay, teku, right?
Which
so
one normally has it, and which one normally doesn't?
Basar didei means we go by the specific...
of the oaf and behemoth.
Behemoth have the agil, and oafot do not. Okay. And that's why gidanasha is only operative for animals. Okay, so the Gemara is not sure whether we go basar didei or basar minei, right? Civic organism or general type. So the Rishonim all ask, wait a second, what about tefillin? Right, where we go basar didei or basar minei for tefillin? Basar didei, right? Because very good, right? Because if you're a lefty, then you tie tefillin to your left hand. And then we get into the question, right? They all jump on what's the story with a lefty, right? If we say basar didei, so then what should be the status for lefties for avoda?
They go to left hand.
Go to the left hand, right? We'll say no problem, right? Rashi said that I can't do avoda, right? Kobe can't do avoda because he has no right hand, right? He has no yamin. Well, what do you mean? His left is his yamin, right? So why don't we say his left is his yamin? So the answer to that's going to be, right, that's a specific, only by tefillin, right? A special drasha by tefillin that we go bus or didei. But in general, right, we have no general principle about going bus or didei or bus or minei. Okay. And then the Rashba, the Ritva, the Ramban, all the Chachmei Sfarad bring up chalitza, right? What happens if the brother or brother-in-law, depending on your perspective, is a lefty, right? So we had Rava's drasha Menachos Yudav Aleph, where he said yad yad the kamitza regel regel le chalitza, right? So what if the brother is a lefty? So he doesn't have a which leg should his sister-in-law do chalitza on? So they quote Bali Tosa, and Bali Tosa say, exactly, right? And the Chachmei Tzarfas, right? So he quotes the position of the Chachmei Tzarfas, which the Chachmei Sfarad are all. It's a rare case where the Chachmei Sfarad all agree to the Chachmei Tzarfas, but we don't pass on like any of them, because the Chachmei Tzarfas thought that if you have a lefty brother / brother-in-law, then can we do chalitza? No chalitza. Sorry, Charlie. Right, that's the underline here. Right, v'yeshomrim shav abichin yeshlachash v'shem einochol. It's klal. Maybe we can't have any chalitza. Midasanya b'maseches pechoros. And then they quote the ambidextrous, and they quote Rashi. Perash Rashi zal mishum debeinan yamin v'zeh ein lo yamin. Right, just like the lefty kohen has no yamin for avoda, so too we can say that the lefty brother-in-law has no yamin for chalitza.
But isn't that just one of the opinions of the... That's just one of the opinions.
In the Rishonim.
Yeah.
Right. My bad, because I gave you the Rashba because it was easier. The Ramban quotes it as Chachamit Sarfas.
Okay, so they also have two other opinions about it.
Yeah. And we pass in Halacha L'Maisa that... I mean, it's an interesting case to look up, but... Long story short, lefties, we have chalitza for lefties. But, right, so we're saying here that, right, that maybe, you know, just like the Kohen has no right hand, so too argues the Ramban, the Rashba, the Ritva, so too the brother-in-law has no left hand, he has no right leg, he has no yaminis, so therefore you can't do chalitza.
Is it not? Okay. Even though the thing comes from the fact that, like, oh, he doesn't have a yamin, and that's why he's not allowed to do it. That's why he can't do, you know, the, like, chalitza or what we're talking about. Like, doesn't that then mean it's a moon? Like, it doesn't come from the din of moon, but doesn't it lead to a din of moon?
So you know what? Let's take a look at his. So he quotes those who say that it's a mum, and I give you the Rambam clearly thinks it's a mum. so let's look at the end of the piece here, in the Rashba, he quotes the Ramban as to why we don't think it's a mo. Right. So first he says a kasaf Ramban, right? Do you see it? That's the third last line. Do you want to read it? Kasaf Ramban?
The katan haramban zal, zo ina Torah, it's ima
kibbutz. Meaning don't tell me that it's a mo. Right? Tell me it's a mo, that's not even Torah. Ouch.
Dimkin b'mak mitzim d'b'chora d'pligi b'rabi rabi v'rabanan b'sholit b'shtei adav l'tnei atar itar pasul d'ivrei akol elash maminad lav mishum nifsal.
Okay, so that's reason one, right? So reason one why it's not a mum is because if it was a mum, then it should have what?
Should have disqualified the ambidextrous also.
Right, when we had the Mishnah giving me all the Bali Mumin, right, and we said, oh, there's a machlokas, so ambidextrous, so the Mishnah should have said that a lefty is a mum. Didn't say it, and that's a glaring absence. Now he gives his own another reason why not. Delav mishum latin mum nifsal, daha.
Daha, late.
Period. Great, right? So, you know, right. Lefties in the room, right? Read that line again, loud and clear. Yeah, right. No. Baal mum is a defect. There's a problem, something wrong. Lefty, there's no weakness or health more or less than any other individual. So, sorry, is the Rashba, like, you know, just common sense argues that a left hand should not be a mum, right? So between common sense and the Mishnah, those are the two reasons why we would argue that it's not a mum. What? Oh man, academic theory over here.
The second answer is just
argument. Why? What do you mean?
First one is a better. The second one is just like,
okay, you just open up the Rambam. I think it's like Perek Hay in Hilchos Bias Mikdash, and he has in gory detail every single mum, and there are a lot of mumin you can have, and it's like one is gross and the next, and you're like lefty. You know, come on. Okay, so we have one option, right? The Rambam thinks that it's a mum. The Ramban and the Rashba think it's not, and they argue, and Rashi also, right? They say that no, right? Being a lefty is just an absence of right-handedness. Okay, now how does this get to our sugya small? Let's see if we can get there. So there's a question which is asked by a bunch of the Achronim. It's asked by the Karen Ora. It's asked by the Yor Sameach. By the way, Karen Ora. You know anything about Karen Ora? Okay, I think when we were in Gush, we asked Rav Aaron who's Chabrus would be if he had a choice. And his first thing he said was like, well, I'm not presumptuous enough to say I could learn with the Ramban. That would have been his first choice. But then he said Karen Ora, which... I like. Because Karen Ora, he only basically writes on the more exotic Masechtas. He's very creative, but he also asks all the questions that you would ask. Like, something, you're reading Tosos and something doesn't make sense. He'll, like, validate you. He'll say, like, yeah, like, there's just a problem here. And then often he'll have some very creative explanation. I don't know. I think you like the clarity and creativity. I like the validation. So Karen Ora asks a very basic question, which is, if somebody does a voda with their left hand, right? If somebody does a voda with a small, so that passels the avoda. Okay? Right? If someone does a voda with a small, avoda is passel. If a lefty does avoda with a right hand, the avoda is not pasul. Because the rule is that the only kind of mum which can pasul avoda is a mum which is common among humans and animals. Right? So if a lefty does avoda, b'dieved, because baal mumin shouldn't do avoda, a lefty is not going to pasul avoda. So there's a like blatant problem here. Because according to Rashi, the problem of lefty is what? They have no yamin, right? So how can you say that if you do a voda with your small, it's pasul, but a lefty, it's not pasul? A lefty's problem is he has no yamin, right? So every lefty who does a voda has done a voda bismol, right? So how can we say, argues the Karen Ora, argues our Sameach, how can we say that the only problem of lefty is that he doesn't have a yamin? That's clearly not true, because if that was the case, then a lefty's avoda should be pasul. Not just the Chachili Shunta. Okay, so where probably the answer comes from, and this is where we get to our sugya as far as understanding the nature of Shmuel. People say it, found in this book. And this is also a great book to know if you're learning Kashrut. We talked about this before, I think. Rav Ilan, the father and son Rav Ilan. No, my son about the Rav Moshe Lichtenstein and the Yeshiva learned Sukkah. Okay, so this book is Knesset HaRishonim on Zvachim by Rav Mordechai Ilan, who I looked him up on Wikipedia, and Hebrew Wikipedia, and interesting biography. But he was a student of the Brisker Rav, among other things. He has a nice haskama here from Rav Israel Zalman Meltzer. What he does is, since I'm Masach HaZvachim, your Rishonim are, you have three Rishonim basically on Zvachim, right? Who are they? Your three Rishonim on Zvachim? Mistake.
Rambam
Rashi Tosos, right? Those are Rishonim, right? And we, you know, that's a problem because, like, Rishonim make learning better and more fun and more productive. So what he did was he said, well, no problem, because, like, I know all of Shas with all of Rishonim on Shas. So I'm just going to go through Zvachim, and, like, whenever there's a parallel Ramban in Bechoros or a Ritva in Yevamos, I'll just, you know, put those on the page for you, and I'll also put in, like, these superb footnotes, which have, like, masterful analysis, and I'll publish in two volumes and call it Knesset HaRishonim on Masech HaZvachim. Okay, so that's the Mordechai Ilan. So that's this book. It's great. Essential. Then he has a son, Rabbi Yaakov David Ilan, who's still alive, who said, hey, you know, my dad did it on Zvachim, but, like, Menachos is an important Masechta, and Me'ilah and Temura are also important, so, you know, I'm going to do the same thing on those. And then also, since I'm like a genius, I will be a footnoter for Mosad Rav Kook. And so some Mosad Rav Kook Rishonim have his footnotes. And so when we did Sukkah, the first year Klal Rav Moshe gave, he said, like, you know, guys, make sure you purchase the Tosas HaRash, because Tosas HaRash on Sukkah has Yaakov David Ilan's footnotes, and, like, they're gold. And it's great, because it's Tosas HaRash, so, like, it's like having, you know, like, Tosas footnotes. So they're awesome.
The father or the son?
The son. Rav Mordechai Ilan is the father, and Rav Yaakov David Ilan is the son, who's still alive, and his stuff is great. He didn't do anything for Rav Kama last year, or San Andrew.
You Googled the first result you get is an article by Rav Krumbine.
Really? It's like, yeah. The
Rav Moshe also, he gave us Vachim Shir and Gershon Yipang about Rav Ilan a few times during this year.
It's just superb. So he gives the answer, and it's a great question they have, right? Again, the question is, if the only problem of Lefty is he doesn't have a Yamin, then how can his Avodah be kasher if the Avodah b'smol is possible? So he says, and this is like an essential chakir you have to ask whenever you have a psul. Is the problem that you just have a lack of hechsher, or is the problem that you have not just a lack of hechsher, but, you know, what's one step more than a lack of hechsher? And yes, sir, but we're not talking mutter. Oh, sir, what's the antonym of hechsher? Yeah, right, or a posel, right? Do we have, right, not just a lack of hechsher, but an active posel? So here's the question to ask, right? When someone does avodah with their left hand, is the left hand just a failure to use the right hand? Or is using the smol, is there a psul of smol, right? My left hand is a posel. This will ruin avoda. So there are kind of two different things here, right? You need to you need yamin, right? And a lack of yamin is a problem. But smol is a posel, right? Smol is radioactive. So that's how he argues is the solution to this question that the Achronim are all asking, right? We're going to say that, look, someone who does avoda, you need to do avoda with your right hand. But what posels the avoda? The posel is the smol, right? The radioactive left hand is the posel. If a lefty goes and does avoda with the right hand, so then did they do avoda b'yamin if a lefty uses the right hand? Lefty uses the right hand, no yamin. Is there a smol ha-posel if a lefty uses his right hand?
No,
right? Because there's just a failure to use yamin. And he says, now I'm not just making this up. He says this is actually like an explicit tosos, and he's basically right. Basically, just because the tosos are not so excited about the answer, but they do say it. The Gemara is talking about doing malika, and the Gemara talks about needing a pasuk to disqualify Malika with your teeth, right? Remember, what's Malika? You don't slit the throat.
No, you just make
an incision.
Yeah, you go from the right. Malika and Shechita are opposites, right? Shechita, you slit the throat from the bottom. And Malika, you got to grow your nail. Thank God you're lefty. You don't have to do this. And you break the neck of the bird from the bottom, right? So Malika is nice. Malika is an avod. The Malika must be done with the right hand, right? So the Gemara has a drasha saying that you at least the way Rashi learns the Gemara, there's a drasha that you can't use your teeth. So question on Rashi is obvious, right? What do you mean you can't use your teeth? Malika needs yamin, right? Your teeth aren't yamin, so I can use teeth to do Malika. So suggest Tosos is an answer, right? You want to read it? Odi Shlomar, Tosin Chulim, Kaf Med Aleph, just the first line we'll see. Odi Shlomar. Yeah. Smol Gara Mishim.
Oh, right.
So what does that mean?
Using
your left hand
is
worse than using your tooth.
Mm-hmm.
Right, period. Okay, that's all. We'll stop there. All right, so what's what are we saying? Smol is worse than Shane, and what's the proof that we have?
That you can use your
teeth? Yeah, right. The Gemara asked. Well, I forgot what there's a story involved. But what happens if a woman is nofal at liyibum, right, and she has no hands, right? So how could she untie the shoes, right? That was the question the Gemara asked. The Gemara's answer was, right, use teeth. Oh, that's the medrash about Yoav and Avner, right? That when Yoav wants to kill Avner, so he wants the Avner to bend over, right? So he says, Avner, I have a shiloh for you, right? What does a woman do if she has no hands? And so Avner says, no problem, I'll give you a halakha demonstration, right? Avner bends over to untie his shoes with his teeth, and then Yoav goes, right, stands in the back. So that's... So that's where it's from. Okay, right. So for chalitza, so no hands is okay, right? Bidyeved, and obviously if she has no hands, that's bidyeved. But a left hand is worse, right? So this is like Tosos are basically saying this explicitly, right? That a smol, the left hand, will be a posel, right? Not just a lack of yamin, but a posel of smol, right? So while the Rambam is going to tell me that a lefty is a balmum, Rashi, Ramban, Ritva, Rashi, we're all going to say no. It's just an absence of yamin, right? A lefty is someone with no yamin. They have a right hand, but they have no yamin. Proofs, it's not in the Mishnah. It's not listed in the Mishnah. And proof two, hey, right? They're no weaker or physically inferior to righties, right? So it doesn't really make sense to call it a mum, they argue. Right? We're going to say it's a lack of yamin. If it's a lack of yamin, why is the avoda not possible? Because there's a difference between saying a lack of yamin, right, and a posel of small. Okay, so just a couple of potential nafkmina, three from him and then one from me. I'll try to do in 2 minutes. So one nafkmina he has is, well, let's say you have a case. Let's say you have a lefty who does a voda, which is kasher b'smol, right? So for example, you know, the kohen, right, our sugya, right, where the kohen gadol brings the ketores into kosher dasha on Yom Kippur, right? So let's say a lefty would bring the ketores into to the kosher kedushin. Would that be okay or not? Right? Would we say, hey, you're a baal mum, so you can't do this? Or would we say, no, you just you've no yamin, but right, ketores can be brought in, but small, right? So that's okay. In a minute. So that's one case he has. Case number two, according to Rabbi Shimon, right? Rabbi Shimon, who had all those cases which could be done with the left hand. So if he thinks of lefty as a mum, right, then Rabbi Shimon will disqualify lefties just as much as the Chachamim will. But if lefty is just an absence of yamin, so all those cases of Kohen, where Rabbi Shimon said, you're fine, a lefty could do a voda, according to Rabbi Shimon, right? That's a big one. And then a third one is a little bit creative. He says, what about an abama, right? So if you're on the base of Mikdash, if you're an abama, right, back in the day before the Mesa Mikdash, when bama were legal, so in a bama you don't need to use your right hand, right? In fact, you don't even need to be a Kohen, right? You could be Yisrael and do a Avodah and a Bama. But you can't be a Baal Mum. So now this is relevant for, says, good, my dad's a lefty, so if he's listening, so this is relevant for him, right? Because if you're a Yisrael and you're on Obama and you're a lefty, can you do a Avodah or not, right? So if, here we'll say the opposite, right? If we say that that lefty is a Mum, so Bama is still a problem, right? We say that lefty is just an absence of Yemen, then you're good to go. Okay, fine. I'll squeeze into this, okay? Because this is just my idea. There's this, you probably didn't see because it's the very end, but the Mikdash David talks about using your fingers, right? And basically, when you, just like your right hand, you have to use your right hand. So when we specify using your espa, so the espa has to be your strongest or primary finger, which is the index finger. Rishonim say it's your strongest finger, it's your most used finger. There's a rabbi who says it's the finger you use when you read the Torah. So the question is, would we say that if somebody used their non-index finger, would it be possible? So I suggest that we, you know, if we have a halacha of smol, you could say that your other four fingers are not your yamin finger, but it's hard to argue that they're smol, right? Like they're not the yamin finger. I would imagine that if you'd use a different finger, we'd probably say that you have no yamin, because it's not the index finger, but it's hard to argue that the middle finger of the thumb is a small. Okay, so that's that. So this, when let's just meet next Thursday. We'll go back on the regular schedule. Mm-hmm. Next sugya has a bunch of stuff in it, so I will send out makoros either tonight or tomorrow morning, Green Nighter. They're like basically almost done. Definitely be in touch if there are like any issues going on. Because yeah, we'll take a look. What? Halacha. Yeah, halacha. /halacha of Ketores. So like a bit of a combination.